A4.
Number 23, B.
So already when we do our studies, we have to be very careful what kind of study we do. We can open the book and can read it and study it and study it and study it and read it and read it and investigate it and from the standpoint of metaphysics. When we read it, we can do something else. We can do what Mr. Dolit taught us over years and years, and very few have listened, namely that he said, use divine obstetrics, and divine obstetrics starts in by saying, put away all material conceptions, and that the birth of an idea can only go on if we detach ourselves from all human conceptions, from metaphysics, and first really empty ourselves to that degree that no human, mental, metaphysical aspect is any more left within our consciousness, and we are so empty that we can let the divine mind read and hear the text. And then we can open the textbook, and then the divine mind reads the text, then the divine mind hears the tonality of it, then the divine mind understands what is written in the page. Then we study the textbook with that mind which wrote the textbook. And that's the great difference. If we say that the divine mind dictated the textbook to Mrs. Eddy, if we say that it was God who dictated to the prophets their prophecy, that the prophets and Mrs. Eddy were just scribes under order, that a higher power, a higher mind was interpreting itself to us, then we cannot understand the message of that divine mind through our mind. It's just not possible. That's how we started out with the idea that we could see that the finite can never give the idea of the infinite, that the finite can never disclose the idea of the infinite. Therefore, it's no use. No matter how diligent we are in our study, no matter how many, many hours we give to that study, it can be just for nothing unless we read it with the divine mind. With that mind which dictated it, that mind alone can understand what it wrote. No other mind can. So that we see that science is the contemplation of the infinite one, including its own ideas. And this is the secret of investigating Christian Science, a great secret. So I want to take a few exercises, make a few exercises in bringing out the difference between a metaphysical attitude and a scientific attitude. And I do it by going through the seven synonymous terms and try to show with every synonymous term what is the metaphysics of that synonymous term and what is the science of that synonymous term. Let's take mind. Perhaps you make two columns. The one column is metaphysics and the second column perhaps is science. I'd always show the difference how we will look at it. Let's go out from mind. The metaphysician at the point of mind is thinking about God. What does science do? Mind knows all. The metaphysician thinks about ideas. He contemplates ideas. Even the divine metaphysician contemplates ideas, because ideas are from God, are the ideas of God. So he thinks about ideas. In science, we don't do that. In science, mind knows itself as its own ideas. You know, reasoning from cause to effect, we begin with mind, which must be understood through the ideas that characterize mind. Can you see what a completely different attitude this is? And you can see that the metaphysical approach does not show us our oneness with God, but that the science standpoint is the oneness with God, where we are the very reality of being, where we go out from mind, divine mind, and know divine mind through the ideas of divine mind. The metaphysician thinks, and so he thinks and must think in a limited way, because thinking is always limited. No matter how big you think, it's still limited, because it's our thinking. Even if we think about ideas, it's still limited, because it's our thinking about ideas. Whereas if we take the consciousness of science, we see there is one mind, and that mind is my mind, and that mind is infinite. There is no limit to that. In metaphysics, man is a thinker. In science, man is not a thinker. Man is the thought of God. He is being known by God. He is that what God conceives, and is not a thinker. So in metaphysics, we use thoughts, and thoughts are only as big as our thinking, whereas in science, God is infinite and the idea is great. Great is the idea. In metaphysics, we seek God. Can you see that we have no unity, that we have not found our unity? If I seek God, I am outside. But in science, I don't seek God in science. In science, God gives me his idea. Quite different, isn't it? In metaphysics, I have a true desire. I have the true desire to know God. In science, I don't seek. I don't have a desire to know God. In science, mind knows itself. In science, the mind of Christ knows itself, and therefore will lead all right desires. In metaphysics, we study. We study the letter, but in science, we don't study. In science, the divine mind is the mind of Christ that imparts its own spirit. And therefore, in science, the letter and the spirit is always one, never two. In metaphysics, we have never a revelation. Therefore, all those Christian scientists who say that Mrs. Edith's revelation was the final revelation, there is no more another revelation to it, are metaphysicians. They believe in metaphysics and that's the end of it. They think that there is no revelation anymore. Where science says, science reveals. You can't deny that. You can't gainsay that in Mrs. Edith's textbook, nearly 40 times she says, science reveals. And if you are a metaphysician, you can't see that, nor read that. You have just no eyes to read it. And as a metaphysician, you are so blinded that you say there is no more revelation. With Mrs. Eddy, the revelation has come to an end. It's the final. But she says all over the textbook, she says, science reveals. She doesn't say God reveals. Not once. She could have said it, but she would have watered it down, because she could see that if we know the science, that then we have the possibility of revelation. Now, from the point of view of spirit, we could, for instance, see in metaphysics that we reason there from matter to idea. You see, it's the metaphysical aspect to go above matter and therefore reason from matter to idea. It is always there where the metaphysician sees that every material belief hints to the existence of a spiritual reality. And so he starts from that point of seeing that he has to find the reality, the spiritual reality that lies behind the material belief. But this naturally is not the beginning of the whole trend of thought, because we always have to start from God. Therefore, always have to reason from God, and only when we reason from God, we can really analyze what the material belief is at all, and then from there, retranslate it to the right idea. So in science, we never reason from matter to the idea that is hinted at, but in science, we always reason from God. Therefore, we reasoning from cause to effect, we begin with mind, which must be understood through its idea. Therefore, in spirit, we only have a one-valued logic, where spirit only knows its own spiritual ideas and nothing else. Spirit knows no dualistic belief. And therefore spirit cannot distinguish between truth and error. Spirit itself does not know that duality. And so spiritual understanding cannot distinguish between good and evil. It has just that one consciousness. God's eyes are too pure to perceive evil. And so in science, we reason from God and along the one value logic of spirit. In metaphysics, we are always asked to separate between good and evil. And it's a constant struggle of separating what are true, what is true, what are true ideas, and distinguish it from beliefs and what seems to be erroneous. And this is a constant struggle. Metaphysics is a constant struggle. You have to watch every minute of your thought, what you are thinking and how you are thinking, if you are thinking right or if you are not thinking right. Whereas if our consciousness is in the realm of science itself, of science, then science is the only. And so there is no warfare going on in spirit. There is no struggle going on in spirit. And we feel that within our consciousness that we do not have to constantly struggle against the arguments of error. So can you see here very nicely the difference between metaphysics and science? Actually, I only take a few examples of each synonymous term. It is one of the nicest studies or pondering that each one can do, where each one can reason it out when he is reasoning in the realm of metaphysics and when he is reasoning in the realm of science. Because we have laid down the method and the rule, we reason in the realm of metaphysics when we just contemplate ideas versus illusions. Whereas when we reason in science, we contemplate the infinite one, we go out from that infinite one, contemplate as the infinite one, and only see the infinite one's own ideas of the infinite. From the infinite one in Christian science comes one principle and its infinite ideas. Let's take soul, and just one or two examples in soul. In the metaphysical approach, we constantly identify ourselves with ideas. And naturally, this is something positive. We don't say that metaphysics is not something right and positive, but it's just not yet science. Whereas in science, we see that soul identifies us, that soul gives us identity. And an identity which is much bigger than what we could think out humanly. God names us. God anoints us. God defines our mission. Not we are defining our mission and then try to work that out. That would be metaphysics again. In metaphysics, we try to control thoughts through ideas that we are constantly watching our thoughts and try to control them with ideas, whereas in soul, it is so that if we have the consciousness of the one soul, that soul controls our thoughts, and that we are going to control our thoughts with ideas, but that soul controls our thoughts with ideas. It defines our thoughts divinely. We also have a sense that in divine metaphysics, we try to reform as much as we can. And in doing so, and trying to become better and better and exchange the concepts of the material sense for the ideas of spirit, we can see in science, really, that soul changes us, that soul reforms us. And that's a much better method than the metaphysical method. In metaphysics, it is so that we want to reform, and who tells us what has to be reformed? We have no standard at all, no big standard at all to tell us what should be reformed in our lives. But if we have the consciousness of the infinite soul, then soul has within itself the ability to change that which needs to be changed according to God's own destiny, to God's own mission, to God's own identity. And this is a much bigger idea than the metaphysical one. Well, let's take principle from the standpoint of metaphysics. In metaphysics, we always try somehow to work out a problem. And by working out a problem, we do some metaphysical work. We try to solve a problem. And it looks as if this is something very big. Yes, but it's metaphysics. We try to solve the problem. And who is going to state what the problem is? We. Can you see? It is not big enough, really, for a scientific approach. So when we are thinking in the realm of science, of the infinite one, then we are not going to solve our problems. Then we can see the principle is solving its own problems. That principle is operating out of its own volition and is demonstrating its own idea, and that's the highest demonstration for principle and the highest demonstration also for us. So by working out a problem in science, we put the problem behind us, so to say, instead of concentrating ourselves on the problem and being mesmerized by the problem. That's metaphysics. Whereas in science, we let really principle operate itself and so solve that and demonstrate that which principle has in view. Or let's take life. From the metaphysical standpoint, we try to live God. You know, all that saying, yes, Christian science is all right, study is all right, and studying this science is all right, but you also have to live it. This is a metaphysical proposition. It's nearly silly, I would say. Because how can you live this science when science lives us? When life is much bigger than our sense of life, when life, capital L, is living us and is bringing out within us something much bigger than we could imagine in our dreams. If we try to live Christian science, we will get into ruts. We'll stay at the same place where our human consciousness is, because then we live that science which we understand. Whereas in science, we let life, the big life, the abundance of life, live us and bring out in us the life that is God, and not our concept of life. It's the same as when people say in metaphysics we have to apply this science, we have to apply God, meaning that life should not have its own method. Whereas in science we see that life has method, and therefore that life really is applying itself in its own way. See, it is that we try to resurrect ourselves in metaphysics and try to work and work to get resurrected and to gain newness of life. Whereas Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Where he could see that life, capital L, is the resurrection and resurrects that which needs to be resurrected and does not try to resurrect that which does not need to be resurrected. Whereas the metaphysician cannot distinguish between what has to be resurrected and what has not to be resurrected. If we would believe the metaphysicians, we would have no newness of life, no progression of life. But life, from the point of view of science, gives us that infinite progression as concrete being. Or if we take truth and see how the metaphysician uses truth, namely by saying, I do right, I apply truth, I try to do that which is right and not that which is wrong, not knowing really what is right and wrong. How else can he know it if only truth is all-knowing? And therefore only truth can do the right. And that right is sometimes the very contrary to what the human sense of right is. So we can see it needs a terrific courage to let truth govern us, truth demonstrate us, truth to self-realize us. Only the metaphysician tries to demonstrate his self-realization. Whereas in science we see all that can be realized is the one truth realizing itself. And that truth is far above the human concept of truth. The metaphysician tries to make himself the Son of God because he knows the promise that he is the Son of God, and he feels that he is not the Son of God, so he tries like hell to make himself the Son of God. And it's a hard job, and it's a tiring job, whereas in science we see that we are the Son of God and have never been anything else but the Son of God. And that Son of God is truth's own consciousness of itself. Whereas the metaphysician tries to become conscious of truth through affirmation and denial, the scientist is at the point of seeing the one truth, the universal one truth, and truth's own consciousness of itself is the Son of God. So in that way, as we stay at that high altitude of truth itself, we are used to be demonstrated as the Son of God. Or we take love. Here again, the metaphysician tries to gain perfection through the method of addition, by adding and adding. Through accretion, he tries to get to the end. He tries to get somewhere. And it's the sense of addition. Whereas love says, no, use in science the method of multiplication. Perhaps you remember what Mrs. Eddy said, apparently, to Adam Dickey, and that's what Adam Dickey reports in his memoirs on Mrs. Eddy, where he quotes this. He says, that Mrs. Eddy said, now, can't you all get out of addition? You do not have to stay in addition all the time. If you have the same principle, you see, as you begin to go out from principle, if you have the same principle, it is just as easy, and in fact easier, to multiply than it is to add. You must rise out of the addition of Christian Science and let God, the divine mind, multiply through you. And so you get really a full and fulfilled sense of what love is, that it is constantly multiplying itself, and we don't have to get to perfection by a constant sense of adding. It is like this, that the metaphysician who has a metaphysical approach to love, he is trying to determine the problem to be solved, and it's usually an isolated problem. And therefore he tries to demonstrate an isolated problem. And we have seen that this is not science, that science is wholeness, and that it is comprehensive, and therefore in science we demonstrate something very differently, namely in science love demonstrates that which is right within the whole plane, and not just an isolated aspect. So we get the much bigger sense that love really alone in science demonstrates the all-embracing comprehensive plane.